Welcome to Raising Humans, a podcast from 6 Seconds, the Emotional Intelligence Network. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. Today on the program, we meet an extraordinary, or perhaps ordinary, teen who's discovered that her love for books can stretch beyond the boundaries of her Silicon Valley community all the way to the continent in Africa. This is the story of Divya. I hope you enjoy it. And first, we'll start out listening to her speaking to a group of people about the African Library Project. Afterwards, we'll hear an interview with Divya, who talks about how she went from being a bookworm to being a leader in her own community. Stay tuned. This is Raising Humans.
Hi, everybody. My name is Divya Prakash. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a book drive organizer with ALP. The books that my team and I have collected have traveled over 8,000 miles to Ghana, Malawi, Sierra Leone, and next, Kenya. The picture books and goblin stories and science field guides that we so lovingly packed into boxes are now being enjoyed by children we have never met, but their impact is so real. It's a magical feeling. Now, speaking of magic, I've always been kind of like a book nerd, and I'm a big fan of science fiction, the Flash comics, and anything by Isaac Asimov being my favorite. And a common sci-fi theme is time travel through wormholes. Just bear with me for a second. A wormhole is a portal to another dimension, which you enter by zooming into at 1,000 miles a minute. It's a magical place where a person can stand, the past stretching endlessly before her, behind her, and the future in front of her, and she can choose. A person can choose any point in her own past or future in space to jettison towards, creating an alternative timeline, redefining her own past, being in charge of her own future. And a library is just the same way. When a student stands in the middle of a room stacked with books, she is standing in a wormhole. Every time she chooses that book over there or that one over there, she is creating an alternative timeline. She's choosing a path that will lead her towards one interest and then another and then maybe even a passion. And every time, the path that was meant to be, the one of illiteracy and ignorance, is being left behind. While the jettisoning through the space-time continuum may not be quite as dramatic in real life, it is transformative. And it has transformed me too. Choosing to join the African Library Project has launched me onto a timeline of my own. I've left behind my shyness and awkwardness, well, most of it anyway, and I've allowed myself to speak up, be a leader. I've led a group of 8 kids from ages 7 to 16, a lot of them older than me, and we've collected 6,000 books and $2,500. I have learned and taught others how to write effective emails, gather donations, rally support, so I know that ALP really is a wormhole. I know this from experience. My own love affair with language, with writing and reading, began almost 9 years ago. I still love to write, poetry and short stories especially, and pretty much anyone who knows me knows that I bring a book or 3 anywhere I go. And now this great burning love of mine is not just mine anymore. It's spreading to children a continent away. We are traveling through this gorgeous, pulsating multiverse. There are millions of nova and planets just waiting to be reached, to be discovered and explored. I hope that the African Library Project can bank on your support so more of these possibilities can be attained. Thank you.
Listening to Divya talk about her love of books and how she turned that into a leadership project reminds me a lot about how I was when I was her age. I loved books, and I loved science fiction. I would read Asimov and Bradbury and all these wonderful writers of my time, and for a while I was in another world. Something we know about people who read books a lot is that they have a lot of empathy. Empathy because they can walk in the shoes of someone from another world, another planet, another time, and they're able to inhabit their reality and feel what they would feel, which is kind of the definition of emotional intelligence and empathy. I found it interesting that she turned this into a project that helped people all the way across the world that she had never met before. And in a way, she described it as traveling through a wormhole to another culture.
So my name is Divya Prakash. I'm 14, almost 15, and I'm a sophomore at a high school here in Fremont, which is like pretty much right in the center of the Silicon Valley, and it's an exciting place to live. I've always loved reading, like all the time, reading and writing and just words in general. It's always been like kind of a passion of mine, and the thing is here in the Silicon Valley, that's maybe not emphasized, like the arts and language especially, is maybe not emphasized as much as science and technology are. And so it was always something I kind of like, it was kind of just me and a couple of other friends who would be really interested in this, but we never really saw it on a as like a major focus of in our area. But then when we found out about the African Library Project and about how some people like aren't able to have access to books and to the words that like that we pretty much had continual access to, we realized that, you know, we have to do something about this. Well, it was probably because it was really it was an issue that was especially close to me because books and like reading in general is it's just such a big part of my life. And so when I found out that not everybody has the same access to books, it was like it hit closer to home. It was more personal.
And do you have a favorite book that you just love to read more than once?
So many to choose from. Although I really do like the author Isaac Asimov, but I mean, there are so many. I couldn't possibly choose this one.
He's a science fiction writer, right?
Yeah, science fiction, definitely. Well, I had heard of somebody in a nearby community participating in the book drive and had sent around a flyer asking for books, and so I was pretty interested in the organization.
When you imagine someone in Africa reading a book, and maybe it's Isaac Asimov, what do you imagine they're feeling while they're connecting to you? Do you ever imagine what that's like when they first pick up that book?
Yeah, I've thought about it. Like the idea of a book just coming across the world like that, I don't know. It strikes me as a very, I don't know, exciting thought. Just this one book, and I may not ever meet these students. I probably won't, and they won't meet me. And they may not have a great idea of where it comes from, but they still like see that book in their hands, and it's a manifestation of like everything that's been going on here, as far as the book drive is concerned. And so, like, I would imagine that would be a very exciting feeling. My friends and I are all very avid readers, and like I can't really speak to their experiences, but for me, I feel that when I read a book, I kind of, no matter who the main character is, whether it's a protagonist or an antagonist, I can kind of imagine how they're feeling a lot better, and that helps me kind of relate better to people in real life, I guess. And the case that I'm thinking of, the last fiction book that I read was A Clockwork Orange by Anthony Burgess, and this is a really good book. It's a little disturbing, yes. It's a dystopian society, but it gave me like such a strong connection to the author. Actually, I could imagine what he was feeling that inspired him to write this. I could imagine how the main character was feeling as the events went on. It sparked my imagination, and that's definitely a big part of empathy, I think.
Absolutely. So, because this is a parenting podcast, I wonder if you have any advice for parents to support their kids in doing the type of project you did, or just in being more world aware, you know, because so often we just get caught up in whatever's happening at school or our immediate lives, and we forget there's a whole world, but you don't seem like someone who's forgotten. So I'm wondering maybe what your parents have done to support you in developing that world awareness.
Well,
A big part of it was, I think, discussing the things that are going on. Like you'll see this like topic going on in a lot of books, especially like, or I mean, I don't know about a lot of them, but I was thinking of Fahrenheit 451. Like, people don't talk about what's going on and care to have a discussion about things that they feel strongly about, and that's kind of what leads to people not really being able to see beyond their immediate lives. And I can feel that happening to myself a lot of times. If I get really stressed out about school or something going on with a friend, I can, and like, and I'm not talking about other things that are important to me, maybe more important than this immediate issue at hand that seems so urgent, then it's very easy to just forget about everything that's going on. So I think talking about things is a big thing, talking about issues that are important and current events.
What Divya is talking about reminds me of how my grandmother spoke to me. We always talked about important social and political issues whenever I was at her house, even from a very young age. She was very political and went to rallies. She and I even went to a rally together in my teens against the U.S. intervention in Central America. She always saw her role as a person of Jewish background to fight for justice in the world. And that translated directly to me. I always had that world awareness, and I know I got it very much from her, but also from both of my parents. And it sounds like Divya's parents are very supportive and willing to talk to her about the tough stuff and the interesting stuff happening in the broader world. And as a parent, rather than shielding our children from what's happening, there's a way to help them engage with the world that's empowering to them rather than overwhelming to them. So this is one of the things we're going to talk about next, is how she translated those feelings and thoughts into actions.
And like, as far as social work, I guess, like this kind of thing, it's more about finding something that you're particularly interested in yourself, like the literary world was for me.
And how did your parents support you? It sounds like one way was to just be available to talk about current issues with you, to stay connected to you in that way. What are some other ways parents can support their kids, especially at a young age like you are?
I guess it would be like helping their child find something they're interested in, because as far as like engaging with the rest of the world and finding out like more about other parts of the world and what's going on, it's a lot easier to do that when you are interested in what's going on or passionate even. And so I think that would probably be an important first step. So if there's an issue or anything really that a kid feels particularly strongly about, then it's a lot more likely that they'll be able to find an issue and feel strongly about it and, you know, see it through.
It's really good advice, and obviously it's worked for you and your family and with what you're doing. I'm really impressed and quite amazed at how much you've managed to do in such a short time. So thanks for spending, thanks for sharing your project with the world and for what you're doing. And what's next for you? What's ahead? Are you going to keep doing this?
Yes, definitely. More book drives. I'm in the middle of one right now. We're creating a secondary school library in Kenya. And so I'm full swing in that.
And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us here.
Thank you so much.
We're going to talk now with Mei Duong, Director of Parenting Education, about some ideas she has, after listening to this interview, to think about ways of supporting the person in your life, perhaps the child in your life, to realize their dreams outside of their own immediate community. How can they bring that empathy to the wider world that so much needs their ideas, enthusiasm, and their hope for the future?
It's so inspiring to listen to Divya talk about her passions for reading and how she had turned this into a bridge to connect with kids in Africa. And in listening to her story, it reminds me of the many questions that I get from parents that I work with in groups and individually. And this is this question about how do we intrinsically motivate our kids? How do we help them find what it is that ignites them from within so that they can turn their ideas and hopes and enthusiasm into meaningful contributions to the world? So I like to focus the tips on three elements of intrinsic motivation. Well, the first part of intrinsic motivation is competence. In order for a child to feel excited and passionate about something, he needs to feel that he's good at it. And how do you achieve this? You achieve this by breaking down larger goals into small, sizable chunks so that you can see that he starts to achieve success with each of the smaller tasks. The second key ingredient of intrinsic motivation is autonomy. And in order for kids to feel a sense of autonomy, we need to give them choice, responsibility, and independence. So how do we do this? We do this by giving them chores and setting limits and empowering them to do the things that they need to do the way they think is best. So for instance, my 7-year-old hasn't really figured out the most efficient way to fold his laundry, and it takes him twice as long as it should. But it is not something that I want to correct too quickly, because I think there's a lot of value in him figuring it out on his own. And from the sense of autonomy comes a sense of self-agency and the fact that he can make changes on his own. The third element that needs to be present for kids to feel intrinsic motivation is that of connection or trust that we build with them. It's the connection that we have with them that allows them to go beyond their comfort zone, so that they can then translate this into trust in other people, and it broadens their perspective and expands their empathy, and it connects them to the larger world. And as Divya said in her interview, she talks to her parents a lot about events in the world, and this is possible because they have a connection and they can talk about anything. There are many scary stories in the news, and not all of them are appropriate to share with our kids. But there are ways to talk to kids about current events that allows them and you to have deeper connections. So the first place to start is with their emotions. When you hear a story, if it's a story that you would like to discuss with them, start with the emotions. Start with how are they feeling, what are the fears, what are the worries and the anxiety, and share with them how you're feeling as well. And together you can navigate those emotions and understand the meaning behind the emotions. And from these kind of conversations, you can build a lot of trust and a safety net from which they feel that they can always fall back on. And this allows them to then venture out beyond their comfort zone to explore and really pursue their passions without fear of failure and without fear of not having anything to fall back on. And to recap, in order for kids to feel intrinsically motivated, they need to feel a sense of competence with the activity. They need to feel that they have autonomy in making their choices and decisions that they have to make. And they have to feel connected and a sense of trust with you. So, with these three ingredients, kids can find their passions and turn these passions into dreams come true. Well, we hope that you found that useful, and we always look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for tuning in, and this has been Raising Humans with Mei Duong and Rachel Goodman.